We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Secretary Pryor, the message from the PawSox seems to be that the state needs to pony up a subsidy within about 2 months or else the PawSox will leave Rodan. Does this amount to the PawSox putting the state in a box?
I wouldn't put it that way. I would say that the PawSox do have options. The reality is that AAA minor league teams are in demand. There are precedents in other communities for the construction of stadiums and the financing thereof. Now, that doesn't mean we have to do any deal presented to us. Doesn't mean we have to do it verbatim. But it does mean that they are no doubt being lured across the border, perhaps multiple borders, but certainly to Massachusetts. And we've got to do our best to keep this treasure team.
How would you estimate the value of the PawSox staying in Rodan versus leaving the state?
I would value it as an important contribution to our state. It's not just an economic contributor. It is that, because it does attract visitors. And I think there may be an argument that in Providence, with the access to transit that this site offers and with the proximity to other entertainment uses and restaurants, that there may be an increased attendee level and that the economic activity may be even greater. But we still have to weigh that against the cost to the treasury, to the public in Rhode Island, and that's what we're going to do.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, I'm wondering about Pawtucket. You know, the city officials in Pawtucket, Mayor Grebian, Tony Pires, who's chief of administration, they thought they were dealing in good faith with you and your people on keeping the PawSox in Pawtucket when you had some initial discussions with them, and they weren't real pleased to turn on Channel 12 and see Jim Skeffington talk about the fact that he had briefed Governor Raimondo on the whole plan for the stadium back in December. And that she told him that she didn't want the PawSox to leave Rhode Island. And he said she didn't want to be the governor that had the PawSox leave Rhode Island. He said, I don't want to be the owner that has them leave Rhode Island. What do you say to the people in Pawtucket?
I say that we're here to help them economically revitalize as well, but I wasn't yet on board in December. So I arrived and entered my office in January. I'm not at all familiar with the discussions that are alleged. And I think they're beside the point, because I'll tell you this, Mayor Grebian in Pawtucket has been, in the conversations I've had, he's been very welcoming of our collaboration. He's had nothing but good things to say about the way in which we've dealt with him. I don't mean to speak for him, because he has every right to express in the alternative.
What do you do with that stadium there? Do you tear it down? I mean, what are you going to do with it?
Well, I believe that's a question for Pawtucket first and foremost. I don't think that's a question for the state from the top down. But when they do have some ideas, we are eager to assist, to think about what's feasible, what's practical, what's doable.
The new chairman of the I-195 Redevelopment Commission, Joseph Azrak, is a very experienced high-level real estate investor. Is he going to play a leading role for the Raimondo administration in vetting this ballpark proposal from the PawSox?
Oh, he most definitely is. Mr. Azrak is heavily involved as chairman of the 195 Commission. He's doing a superb job. He's intricately involved with our discussions, and he will be someone we rely upon.
Would it be fair to characterize him as the point person from the administration on this?
He's a key point person, definitely.
We're talking here with Rodan's Commerce Secretary, Stephen Pryor. Now back to Scott.
I'm wondering how we can get over the 38 Studios hangover in this state, because what you hear in the legislature is anytime you mention baseball, we have Curt Schilling's name is mentioned, and people think this is another kind of deal. How can we convince people that this ownership group is nothing like Curt Schilling? They're real business people with serious experience building stadiums and running baseball operations.
Well, before I dive in and draw the distinction, I think, look, let me point out that we do intend to vet this proposal. So we're not prepared at this very moment to say we want this proposal in this precise way, under the terms that the ownership has presented it. Having said that, the building of a stadium with some public financing mixed in with private financing, that's very different from 38 Studios. 38 Studios was a bet on a dream, and it never resulted in a tangible asset like a building. Frankly, there's a distinction you can draw with the stadium. You can draw a distinction with our real estate tax credit program, where we're going to be constructing actual facilities for businesses. Very different. And by the way, when we create our tax credit program as a state, we're going to ensure that the dollars don't flow until the facility is built and there's a certificate of occupancy.
Well, speaking of construction, Governor Raimondo's budget would give the Commerce Corporation the power to issue tax credits for large-scale projects in communities with more than 150,000 people. That sounds like it's got to be Providence. So is there a short list of projects that are being considered for this?
No, we're not assembling a short list for the variety of tax credits and other programs. We are actively talking with aspirants and potential applicants about their projects. Even before we designed the legislative package, we wanted to make sure that there were actual real estate projects and actual businesses within the state borders especially, but even ones that are growing beyond their walls in Massachusetts or Connecticut, that they would make use of these tools because we want to deliver real jobs for Rhode Islanders. So we have been doing that to size the programs and design them.
Can we learn something from Warwick, where a huge investment in infrastructure, the airport, has just bred a real blush there of economic development, almost $300 million in new investment. And the beauty of it is the developers don't need tax deals or taxpayer giveaways. They're doing this on their own.
You're making the very point, though. The airport represents a massive public investment.
It was.
And it's infrastructure that's invaluable. Sometimes what you need to build is the public infrastructure that will unleash the private development. Our Tax Increment Financing Program, or TIF program, helps to pledge future taxes, taxes that aren't even yet in the Treasury, in public control, pledge them to a project to build it. You might need a new gas line. You might need fiber optic cable. You might need a new roadway or the reconfiguration of a roadway. That's the exact kind of thing we should be doing to unleash private investment.
As Commerce Secretary, you have to be concerned about the state's business climate. So how do you respond to critics who say that the so-called Taylor Swift tax would create a bad precedent with a new statewide property tax and that it sends the wrong message about how wealth is treated in Rhode Island?
On the contrary, I think it sends a message about the fairness of the Raimondo administration, about the equity, the equitable approach that our team takes to budgeting. You know, there's a $190 million budget deficit that has to be closed this year. It's escalating to nearly $500 million over the next several years. A number of actions need to be taken in tandem to close that gap. To be sure, one of them is Medicaid reform, but it has to be a balanced effort. Medicaid can't be the solitary source of savings. We do need to raise some revenue, and the approach that the governor took rightly was no across-the-board tax increases. Something like a millionaire's tax, I think, would have had a much more negative implication that would have sent a signal around the country about our disinterest in attracting investors and other people of means. I think this more targeted second home tax involving people who ought to be making a contribution to the state government because they do have homes here, even though they don't often, in many cases, not in every case, but in many cases, don't pay personal income taxes in the state. I think it's reasonable.
You haven't been here for 100 years like me and Ian, but nonetheless, you must have done some thinking about the Superman building, which of course is empty.
I do think that it is a great opportunity for somebody or a set of somebody. And it's a project that, under the right circumstances, I think that we all should consider and get involved with.
The Raimondo administration hopes to remake the state's approach to promoting tourism. How can Rhode Island get a better return on investment on its tourism dollars than the states elsewhere that are doing a good job in promoting tourism?
We spend on a statewide outward-facing campaign that people in other states have any chance of hearing or paying attention to. We spend $470,000. It's minuscule. It's microscopic. Other states are spending millions, including the states immediately surrounding us, and they're dominating the airwaves. And I don't know how many more times I'm going to have to hear pure Michigan before before I go crazy. And I know others feel the same way. And Michigan's invading our territory. We need to fan out. We are strapped for dollars. So we have to use our dollars that we are spending on tourism efficiently and add dollars. That's the governor's approach. We need to look at the half dozen or so local tourism bureaus. And we need to say, okay, are there ways that we can achieve some efficiencies by collecting some of those dollars and channeling it towards a statewide campaign while keeping these able local bureaus going? And at the same time, we're going to add some dollars by closing some loopholes on things like Airbnb transactions that ought to be taxed just like any other hotel transaction. Combined, we think we can channel millions of dollars towards a high-profile, high-impact, outward-facing campaign of marketing and advertising because we have a lot to advertise. Rhode Island has some terrific tourist destinations. I know I don't have to convince anyone listening to these airwaves that that's true.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And Rhode Island's Secretary of Commerce, Stephen Pryor.
Thank you.